This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. And I hope you're doing well. Hope your alpacas are doing well. Hope the weather's being kind to you and that you're able to get done the things that you need to get done. It's been a full fortnight. It's been lots of things on the go. There's been so much activity, not so much to do with the alpacas, although they have to be fitted in. They have to do all the things in between. And I've been quite busy doing some recording, doing an audiobook for somebody, and also doing some filter judging for the British Podcasting Awards, which is quite a privilege. Very pleased to be involved in that. So it's all been thinking podcasting and less thinking alpacas. The alpacas are a delight because they always fill the space with something that takes you to a completely different place to wherever you were before you went to spend time with the alpacas. And we've had a few that were kind of a bit off, not sure what's going on with you. Keep an eye on those. But we had a bit of a boys fighting in the night. I had to go over to them a couple of times and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you've got to keep your eye on what is happening. Lots of pesky little flies. And a few of the big ones. We've had the first few of the large horse flies appear. And that's it, really. They've gone again. So I think it was particularly hot weather that brought a few out. We're about to go into July, and it's usually about the 8th, 9th, as I said last time, that we get the horse flies turning up. So that's to be expected. that's on my radar. And we'll see what we can do about keeping them under control and not affecting the alpacas too much. So, yeah. So they've been enjoying the grass is growing, and they've been enjoying that. And they've been out and about and here and there and doing their thing. And occasionally not turning up for breakfast or turning up really late, but not consistently. And there are other times when the wind's coming from the other direction. So they were nearer to home base when it was breakfast time. And they've been spending a lot of time in the shade when it was particularly hot and out of the reach of the flies. So they've been spending more time mixed. They spread out, some in, some out. When they're all in, particularly if it's kind of wet overnight and that kind of stuff, then they stay in and there's a lot of mucking out to be done. I've been showing my white legs. They're pretty... pretty dramatically white, less so now after a few weeks. But so I've been wearing shorts more, which is a bit of a challenge because that's where the flies can get to you. And so I've been keeping the fly repellent spray handy for the alpacas and for myself. And my knees are starting to go a little bit not as white as they were. That's too much information, I know. Okay. So this time of year, typically, perhaps a little bit earlier, probably hereabouts, we would have been having birthings. We've not been doing matings for the last few years. The girls are getting older, and with one thing or another, we've not done the matings. So we've got no Kriya arriving this year, but this would have been the time. And Kriya watch, there's a tension, there's a thread that pulls me back to keep checking, keep looking at the alpacas to see how they're doing, to see where they are, see what they're up to, see everything is all right. Looking for the signs. So it's the tail up, the frequent visits to the poop pile, the lying down a lot, and all the things that you're trained to look out for. They do work. I mean, they are the signs. They are the things that you need to be looking for. But sometimes they do fool you, and they'll string you along for quite a while. They're not doing it deliberately, but I read more into some of the signs than was actually there in reality. So, yeah, but it brought back some memories of the Kriya arriving. Special time. If you've got Kriya coming, or if you've already had Kriya, you'll know what I mean. And you will find that it's a bit even more magical than just generally being around alpacas. The birthing is often straightforward, but it's really nice to be around. I found that I wanted to be around, and I would keep an eye and just wanted to be sure, particularly for the maidens, the first career, first-time mums. Yeah, just to be able to be around for them, to provide the support if needed. Most of the time, you've got to keep your distance and not get involved. But just when you need to, it's helpful. Just to release a little bit of a jammed-up leg, or just to check that everything's going as expected. It's interesting, some of them, they do want to keep their distance. I had a few that hid themselves up the top of the hill and into the trees. So I was not able to see where they were. I was coming to check on them. And when you've got a group of them, particularly if you've got a group of whites, we had one year we had a group of white mums to be, and trying to keep track of who was who and which one we were watching to see whether they were about to produce. I ended up using some of the blue spray, which is a terramycin spray. It's an antibiotic for cuts and that kind of stuff. But it stands out at a distance. You can see a little blue spot on the flank. So I quite often would put a little mark on them just to keep an eye on the right ones, because otherwise you're watching all the time. And I remember my mother-in-law saying, "Oh, Steve, there's one of them." I think, "Oh, no, she's not pregnant. That's not the one we want to be watching. There's this one over here." So you've got to have a way of seeing at a distance without disturbing them too much, but being able to see what it is that they need and are they okay. So it's good to be around, good to have an awareness. That's the career watch. And I would do it I certainly check them in the morning, and then it would probably be every hour. You get a sign, you start to recognize what was going on. And this one, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't have a career today. This one, some signs, but not convinced. She just doesn't seem to have that. I'm about to. So, and then sometimes they'd fool you, and sometimes you'd think they were about to, and there wouldn't be anything that day or the next. And others, you suddenly, there's one in the field. It's just been born. So every hour or so, just a quick check. Don't disturb them too much, but just an awareness. They got to the point where they kind of saw me and were a bit kind of, oh. So if you can do it from a distance, it's helpful. Being around them, they're used to you. They'll be trusting you. And for some of them, first-timers and stuff, they quite enjoyed the fact that I wasn't too far away, that I was around. They just need a little bit of extra, but yeah. So two stories in particular I remember. One was the missing mum. This is where I came down and found the placenta on the poop aisle. Okay, hunted around and found a baby, but I couldn't find any mum to go with it. So who's given birth then? And I ended up taking the career in my arms, carrying it, and taking it to the different mums who I knew were pregnant, trying to get one of them to claim it. Eventually, Owenna did. And so that was good. But yeah, there was this kind of, she managed to wriggle behind a hurdle which was hanging, a hay rack. You'd call it a hay rack. So they managed to squeeze in and get behind this hay rack. And I don't know how she managed to do that. But anyway, the baby and the mum were reunited. And that was good. And the other time we had a mum, but no baby. And it's because they dropped off the edge of a path down by a lot of brambles. And it was the steep gorge kind of area that went down into the tunnel. They weren't near the water, but they dropped off the path. And the mum was a bit perturbed, as were we. We recognised something was going on. And That was a bit of an interesting thing. We managed to cut some stuff and get down and get out the baby from him, stuck in the middle of all these brambles. And I moved them over and put them on flat ground. So there's a video on the website if you want to have a look at that. That's alpacatribe.com. And today's episode 334. And it has a video clip there of the rescue and taking them over and getting them reunited. It takes a little bit of kind of settling and getting used to. You just got to be around. Obviously, you've got to check the umbilical cord is clean and treated with iodine. And then It's the first struggling to feed and getting up, and it's the first feed. I always like to make sure that they've had a good feed, preferably early on in the day. I always worry whenever it's after lunchtime and the crea is born. It's just, I've always found it more challenging. And I want to make sure that they've had a good feed, that they've got had the colostrum. Because later in the day, they can get the situation where they settle down for the night. And I'm never completely sure whether they've had enough food, but also have had the colostrum. Because the lining of the stomach actually is very porous. It's very open and allows large protein molecules to pass through, which is the antibodies in the colostrum. And then fairly quickly, it's 12 hours, 24 hours, it's starting to close up and won't allow through. So you can miss out on the passive immunity, and then you're looking at maybe having to do some serum, and people will take blood and then spin it to get the serum and then freeze it and have it available for those occasions when you're not able to get the first feed naturally. So just to boost that and make sure that they get the immunity. It's often not a problem, but it can be, and you just need to know what to do in those situations. So take some advice from your vet, have a chat with them and work out what you need, if there's any extra things that you're going to need. But also you may want to consider getting some blood taken and the serum separated off. Often people will use males for taking the blood and getting the serum. They need to be in the same environment, so they've got the same exposure to the different bacteria, etc., so that you're getting protection for the environment that the crea is going to be in. You don't want it to be too distant, too far away. Anything's better than nothing, but ideally something of the same environment is going to give you the best protection for the crea. And then it's being clear. You start to see little signs. They sit down a lot. They shiver when they're first born as well, the crea, and that would worried me till I worked out what was going on. Didn't matter what the weather was doing. Didn't matter whether it was cold or not. They were just going to shiver. And that was just part of the having just been born. It's quite a stressful kind of thing to happen. All of a sudden, whoa, we're in the world. We're no longer in our little safe internal liquid environment. We're now outside. And they adjust incredibly quickly. And then they're up, and then they're moving around, and then they're finding their feet, finding their legs, standing up, getting underneath for the milk, etc. And I just love the way that the mums are programmed to stand still. That's their job, is to stand still and let the crea find them, get under there and get the first milk. And it's such a amazing experience to be around. If you get a chance to be around for a birth, even if you don't have alpacas yourself, if there's the possibility of doing that, they don't do it to order, so it's a potluck. But if there's the possibility, it's well worth it. I do recommend it. So many happy memories. It's a little bit stressful, feeling responsible, wanting to make sure you do all the right things, not do the wrong things, don't disturb them too much, get them settled, get them in. And the number of times I've overhelped by trying to encourage this youngster to go underneath and get some, and you push them forward, and they kind of push back against your hand, and they don't really want to be pushed around, and the mum's a bit concerned, what are you doing with my baby? And just give them a little bit longer time, give them a bit, but be ready to intervene when you need to. And there's a few times you kind of get them in the right place, so they've got a fighting chance of getting to the milk bar. But they will overshoot. They will go under and keep going and miss completely. And they'll start at the wrong end. They'll start just under the bottom of the neck, going under the body that way, coming between the front legs. And it's amazing, really. But they cope. And the mums cope. And all, for most occasions, all is well. A few times you get the complications. And then it's when you want to know what to do or know who to contact. Find someone who's got a bit more experience, someone who's been through that before, and just ask them to help, give some thoughts and pointers about what you need to get. There'll be lots of different advice from different people, but do make sure you've got all the different things. I've had things that I think they're probably still in the bag, in the case, ready to be used, and they've never ever got used. You manage, and preparation is everything. So do the preparation, and then go with whatever is happening. So have a good career season if you're involved in that, and as I say, if you can, go spend some time with somebody else's alpacas, particularly if they're going to be giving birth, and just being around the career, even if you've missed the birth, just being around young career is really fun as well. Watching them play, watching them move around, particularly when they interact with each other, it's helpful to have more than one or two. If you have a small group of career, they do interact together and play together. Sometimes the older ones, for a newborn, they'll over enthusiastically run into them or bump into them or expect them to play. And then, I'm just trying to work on how to open my eyes and stand. And you're expecting me to play? Not yet, but time will come. So we shall see how that goes. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and take care. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.